Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Steve Hannigan, Prince of the Press Agents and Titan of Modern Public Relations, the book by Michael K. Townsley, tells the story of a peer without peers among press agents in the first half of the 20th century. Steve Hannigan was a highly successful pioneer of public relations who built groundbreaking publicity campaigns for the Indy 500, Miami Beach, Sun Valley, Las Vegas, the 1940 presidential campaign, and Coca-Cola. He developed, tested, and refined many of the press and publicity commonly used today. And along the way, Hannigan knew or worked with most of the major figures and the celebrities of his era. The book, written by Michael K. Townsley, his career dealt with studying, managing, developing financial tools for colleges and universities. He was the Senior Vice President for Finance, Marketing, and Administration at Wilmington University in Delaware. After leaving Wilmington University, he was named Professor of Business at Becker College in Massachusetts, later named Dean of the Business Program. He's written a number of books, in addition, contributed chapters and numerous articles on finance, management, IT systems for financial management and higher education marketing, also made many presentations at national conferences. Dr. Townsley holds a PhD from the University of Pennsylvania, a Master's of Arts from the University of Delaware, and a Bachelor's of Arts degree from Purdue University. Michael Townsley, author of Steve Hannigan, Prince of the Press Agents and Titan of Modern Public Relations, our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. Looking forward to this. Thank you for being with us on the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the chance.
This is such a fascinating book about such a fascinating person. I mentioned your background. Where did the interest come in Steve Hannigan and writing a book about him?
Well, the interest came, it's by way of my mother. My mother was his second cousin. And she lived in, he is from Lafayette originally, yes. And she was from Logansport, and she was, her father and his father, not only were they brothers, but they were both part of a set of five siblings who had been orphaned back in 1870. And the parents, these paternal parents, reared themselves, and the children did quite well. And my mother had told me a number of stories about Steve Hannigan, particularly his success with Indianapolis 500. He'd arranged for her, I think, back in the late 20s. To have a police escort from downtown Indianapolis out to the 500. And she went out once to visit him in New York City where his offices were. I even have a picture of him, his car, and she was sitting in it. It was a big Stutz Bearcat. And he was, one of the things he advertised was Stutzes and ran campaigns for.
You know, he was such a fascinating, larger-than-life character. Talk about the beginning for him. How did he get involved in the publicity business? Because this was a natural fit for him.
Well, when he grew up, and he sort of interesting where he grew up in Lafayette. A lot of people don't know that name because it was an Irish ghetto, and the main street, which is, I think, Market Street, Wabash Avenue. Was known as Bloody Plank Road. And along that road were a number of saloons and houses of ill repute. And within that, the parish sat of St. Anne's, and that's, his mother was heavily involved. There was a priest there. And he ran one of the earlier social movements to run the houses out and to get control of all the saloons. And he, about the age of 19, he went to work for the Lafayette Journal and Courier as a news hawk. He sold the newspapers, and then he had the boldness to go in and talk to the publisher of the paper and said he wanted to be the reporter. And they named him a reporter after he drove him nuts for about 2 weeks. And he reported on high school type of things, which is common today among a lot of newspapers. And during World War I, and by then he was 19 years old, the war had two major effects on a lot of companies and newspapers in particular, and that is they drew out a lot of the skilled help, and the paper, the Journal and the Courier, lost both their city and sports editor. And so at the age of 19, he was named the city and sports editor for the Courier, Journal and Courier, and he parlayed that into a lot of other little things and publicizing. One of the things he did was he publicized a barnstorming car troop that came through Lafayette, and he did so well doing that that he decided he would take advantage of an offer by one of his early girlfriends, and she was related to the vice president of Russell Seeds Advertising in Indianapolis. Now, if there's one thing that drove me crazy writing this book is trying to track down Russell Seeds, because I thought it was like one of these companies that sold and bought corn and things like that.
Well, that was the first thought that came to mind when you mentioned that name.
Yeah. In fact, that was the name of the guy, and it was a highly successful advertising firm out of Indianapolis, and one of their accounts, two of their accounts were the Indianapolis 500, and the second one was the Stutz Company. And he was assigned to Stutz and sent out to Hollywood. And there he was given the job of working with Wallace Reed, who was the star of A Birth of a Nation. And they wanted him to endorse the Stutz because he had a kind of Rudolph Valentino image, and they figured all the men would want to have that swashbuckle look.
Yes.
And invited him. He invited him, Reed, to Indianapolis. They got along well. He got to meet, Hannigan got to meet a lot of people in Hollywood that later became useful in the latter part of his career. Hannigan was then assigned to work with Pop Myers down at the Indianapolis 500 because they had seen that some of the attendance was starting to slip. And he wasn't hired by the 500. He was just assigned there to help Pop Myers. And Hannigan started to do some of his publicity, and it was becoming successful. One of the things he did was emphasize the drivers rather than the cars or the owners. And one day he and Pop Myers were having an argument over the fact that Steve didn't think that Pop Myers was giving him proper recognition. And during the argument, Carl Fisher walked in and wanted to know what the argument was about. And he decided, well, I'm going to name you the publicity director for the Motor Speedway, and you can prove whether you're any good. And Steve took that job on. That catapulted him into a national base, and he did have tremendous success in building up the attendance at the race. One of the interesting things that Hannigan came up with was he needed a way to prove to Fisher that they were actually increasing ticket sales beyond the fact of selling tickets, because I guess that was kind of a loosey-goosey affair. And what he did was he started to count garbage trucks the day after the race. And as the number of garbage trucks increased, the assumption was that meant more people were attending.
I love that theory. He's such an interesting character. We're talking about Steve Hannigan. Prince of the Press Agents and Titan of Modern Public Relations is the book by our guest on This Week in America, Michael K. Townsley. His website, by the way, is Stephen Hannigan. That's HANNAGAN.com. You can click on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And, of course, the book's available at Amazon and the usual places. Yeah, Indy 500, one of the great early success stories. Another is Miami Beach. And talk about what the assignment was at Miami Beach and how he really brought a number of tourists to that area.
Well, from the 500, he went to work prior to arriving at Miami Beach to Lord and Thomas, a major advertising firm in Chicago. And he Albert Lasker hired him there. He had heard about him. He thought he'd be a great advertising man. Steve really did not like doing advertising. His forte, he felt, was doing press relations and publicity. And so Lasker liked him. So he assigned, the first thing he did, he assigned him to the case of Samuel Insull, who a lot of people haven't heard of anymore, but he was blamed for the collapse of the Insull utilities in Chicago. And through Hannigan's work, he was able to set up a publicity campaign that everybody felt so far sorry for the guy that he got off. And he then got a call from Carl Fisher to come down to Miami Beach and do some work for them. Now, Miami Beach, sort of like the 500, was not a full-time job. The 500, he was only there from April to June, and in Miami Beach, he would only be doing work from May to about April, from November to about April. And he and Fisher had the same issue at Miami Beach he had at the 500. He needed people to buy houses and to buy lots. Fisher, well, some people in Indiana don't realize this, but Miami Beach exists because of Carl Fisher. He literally built the beach out of nothing and scraped it up, coral and everything, created the beach, arranged for hotels to be there, et cetera. And he wanted Steve to create a campaign to bring people out of the East Coast, Northeast, and the Midwest down to visit the beach, go to the casinos, go to the hotels, and also buy lots and build houses. And Steve started running these personal campaigns, similar in a way to what he did at the 500 with the drivers.
Right.
And he would send, he had a crew at his hotel, and they would meet in the morning and go to other hotels and pick out someone and their family and do a story on them. And then they sent it out through the wire, the teletype machines, to a network they'd build up. And those became local stories because people always wanted to know what their neighbors were doing. In the days when newspapers were smaller and they were more neighborly, there used to be columns called "What Are They Doing Today?" And usually they would have a story like that. Well, Mr. and Mrs. John Smith are down in Miami Beach and they're doing this and they met this celebrity and all of that. And the concept was to prove to the locals back home that you can afford Miami Beach and have a good time. The other thing that Hannigan introduced in Miami Beach were the bathing beauties. Every article he possibly could, except for these family articles, he had young women, and they were included, pictures of them were included in the articles and then just sent out. And he liked to stage things, and several of the famous things he did was one, he staged Santa Claus coming across the beach in a sleigh filled with good-looking young women. And he also arranged a golf tournament in which Carl Fisher played a golf ball off the head of an elephant that he owned. So it was a different time, a different place. Hannigan, when he was there, he got to be good friends of the publisher of the Miami Herald, and that helped him a lot in running up the coast. The Herald was owned by James Cox, who was Franklin Roosevelt. He ran with Franklin Roosevelt the 1920 election on the Democratic Party as president. And each one of these things Hannigan impressed these people with. And the other thing is, a lot of the people coming in at that time were young, ambitious Irish people, particularly Irish men. And they all kind of helped each other. And besides meeting and getting to be friends with him, he met Gene Tooney, who was the boxing. He won the world championship by defeating Jack Dempsey.
Yes.
He fought him twice and won both fights. He also helped promote Tooney in other fights. And Hannigan, in addition, met the owner of Gimbel's and a number of other famous business executives along the East Coast, particularly out of New York City. And from that, he parlayed that into opening his own firm on Park Avenue in New York in the late 30s. In the meantime, while still running, and he continued to run the 500 for publicity until 1945, and he ran Miami Beach until 1945. They were the two cornerstones of his publicity company. And he met Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. And Rickenbacker convinced him to go be his publicity person on a flight of a plane that Rickenbacker had developed. And it was a monoplane, aluminum monoplane that was supposed to be a passenger liner. And they were planning to land in all 48 of the states. They finally cut it off after three or four crash landings. And it had nothing to do with Rickenbacker's flying, but mostly it had to do with running out of gas. And you'd think, well, God, you ought to just watch the gauge. Well, at that point, the gas meter was a float stick that came out of the gas tank on the wing. So you had to stick your head out, and if it was foggy or cloudy, you couldn't see it.
Yes.
So they had several. They gave Rickenbacker decided to give up the flight, but it was highly successful because during the flight, Hennigan had created through his Miami Beach and through his Indianapolis 500 contacts this and to newspapers a network that he sent out news items. When he got to New York City, there were a number of things that he did to handling publicity for various companies, Brunswick Bulky, a roofing firm, major national roofing firm. But he was contacted by Averell Harriman in about 1936 to come and do the publicity for his new ski resort, Sun Valley. And he had purchased the land after considerable searching in the West to do it. He wanted a resort that was comparable to ski resorts in Europe. He didn't want another American resort that was a bare-bone operation. So he brought Hennigan out after they took the land. He sends him out by himself with one of the... Harriman was the chairman and president of the Union Pacific, and he sent Hennigan out with one of the supervisors of Union Pacific into that area around Ketchum. And then out to the resort, to the valley where it was. And it was in the middle of the winter, and Hennigan did not like the cold, even though he grew up in Indiana. But as he got back further back in the sunshine, it got so warm, they took his jacket off, his heavy jacket, he took his suit jacket off, and out of that came the name Sun Valley.
You know, that's just one of so many great stories in the book, Steve Hennigan, Prince of Press Agents and Titan of Modern Public Relations. Michael K. Townsley, the author and our guest in the program. Time has gone by too quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. From a personal standpoint, you talk about, you give us a little insight into him. And sometimes we think of press agents, especially during that time, as maybe overselling, over-exaggerating, hyping, that type of thing. You talk about his charm, his creativity, work ethic, devotion to truth. Those are qualities that really stood out for him, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And he was acknowledged for that early on. And one of the classic stories was that there had been a huge hurricane that hit Miami Beach in the Miami area in 1926. And he was contacted by one of the columnists out of New York City, the newspaper, and they asked how things are going. And he wrote back, well, not bad considering all the damage done. But the famous quote he was known for is he got a call from Walter Winchell and said, how are things going on Miami Beach? And this was regular. During the regular period, no bad weather. And Hennigan wrote back to him by telegram saying, nothing is going on. Just remember to include the name Miami Beach.
You know, just amazing stories in the book. A press agent, yes, who is very truthful. That was Steve Andegan. The book is Prince of the Press Agents, Titan of Modern Public Relations. Michael K. Townsley is the author. Books available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. His website is stevehannagan.com. That's H-A-N-N-A-G-A-N.com. Link on directly and get information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. I want to touch on Reader's Magnet, a company that you've worked with in getting the book out into the public's hands and spreading the story of Steve Andegan. What's this experience been like for you working with Reader's Magnet?
They've been very thorough and very helpful. And whenever I have any questions or issues that I need sorted out, they get in touch with me, and the people really are very helpful in getting things sorted out. Setting up this interview, there were a few complications on my part. They got it straightened out. You were available. There are other things. They've done publicity items for me. And so I really appreciated the work that they've done for me.
And I appreciate the fact that they connected us so we could do this program today, because it is such a fascinating book. I'm going to take an extra couple seconds here. Because of your relationship, the family relationship with Steve Andegan, what has this book, this experience been like for you? I would assume it opened your eyes to, here's this legendary figure that I heard about, but now you get to know the inner workings of Steve and what he was able to do. This had to be a fun project for you.
It took about 7 years to do the project, just tracking down people. I was able to track down the children of his chief assistants. Andegan never had any children. And my mother had a cache of articles, so I learned about those things. Talking to people who knew him or knew of him, and they all enjoyed him. So he is buried at St. Anne's Cemetery. And what's funny is he was the major publicist for Coca-Cola for the last 10 years of his life. In front of his grave, by about 150 feet, is a tombstone shaped like a bottle of Coca-Cola. It has nothing to do with him, but it's just ironic. The other thing is that for 40 years, someone was putting flowers on his grave on his birthday. And nobody's ever been able to figure out who that was.
It's just a fascinating story. And I mentioned in the beginning, Michael has written some other books as well as this book on Steve Andegan. Any project you're working on currently?
Well, this one, I'm continually preparing things for the blog, but I'm also working on a project that has nothing to do with this kind of a book. And it has to do with why colleges struggle to change.
Now, that would be fascinating as well. And so much of your background, as I mentioned, in education, the books and the articles that you've written. So glad that you took a little diversion to write this book, Steve Andegan, Prince of Press Agents, Titan of Modern Public Relations. The blog that Michael talked about, information with the book, is available at stevehannagan.com, H-A-N-N-A-G-A-N.com. It's really informative. It's very entertaining. Information on the book there as well. And, of course, you can go to our website to get information. Link on directly to Michael's website. Michael, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing the story. What a remarkable individual he is. It's a great read. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It has been our pleasure. Once again, the book, Steve Andegan, Prince of the Press Agents, Titan of Modern Public Relations, Michael K. Townsley, the author. Information, direct link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.